it's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
There's a blast deep into the night, and a two-run homer for Baez. And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Donna goes in motion left. Snap it to Michelle. He's running to the left. Angling, 25-20. Got a block for Brown. 50, 10, 5. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Dogs win it. We're headed to Atlanta.
Trubisky's going to run it. And he is going to get it first down. How about Trubisky to the 42-yard line? Oh, my goodness.
In the ring, Steamboat's got him up. A slam. But Blair inside Craywood, too. He made it. He's got it. Steamboat's night muscle. And Blair has done it. Blair has done it.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What's up? What's up? And welcome in. You're listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights at 7 here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app with open phone lines for you. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is the telephone number. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweetjhood. Also on Instagram, IGJHood. Look for me on Instagram, IGJHood. On the program tonight, we will hear from friend of the program, John Moon Mullen from NBC Sports Chicago. His thoughts about the Bears. The Bears get ready to take on the Dolphins. We'll hear from Moon coming up at the bottom of the hour. Jeff Fox from the Sports Brothers, also friend of the program, stationed out in Miami, Florida. We'll get his thoughts as the Bears get ready to take on the Dolphins. We'll find out what Adam Gase, the former offensive coordinator for the Bears, has been doing as a head coach with that Dolphins team. Tales from the Hood. And oh, by the way, if it's Thursday, it's 9 o'clock. You know what we do, right? Come on. 9 o'clock, Thursdays. You see it all the time on your social media. TBT, right?
Let's throwback.
Throwback Thursday, 9 o'clock. It's going to be hot, restaurant quality. 2 hours from now, doing Throwback Thursday. We've got a great theme for you. For those of you who follow me on Twitter, twitter.com, tweetjhood, or on the Facebook wall, facebook.com, you already know what the theme is because it's been lighting up my phone all day. Your submissions for Throwback Thursday.
The throwback.
So we get that for you coming up in 2 hours from now here on ESPN 1000. And plenty of time for your thoughts as well. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Hope that you had a great Thursday. Hope that you have a great Thursday night as we're with you until 10 o'clock. Then we hand it over to Dan Levitard, Stu Gott, and Mina Kimes here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We have been away because of Major League Baseball, but it's good to be here to talk to you about some of the storylines. I could not take one step into this show. I could not. I could just dress it up with a little jazz hand Chicago conversation. I can't do that, though. Not out of the box. I do have to talk to you about Jimmy Butler. Because even though he is a Minnesota Timberwolf, this is a Chicago sports story in a lot of ways also. I mean, clearly Tom Thibodeau, the former Bulls coach, is trying to resurrect any good that he had from the Bulls with this Timberwolves team. That's why in the Twin Cities, the Minnesota Timberwolves are known as the Timber Bulls. Because Thibodeau continues to go through his old address book and is like, oh, I remember when you were fine back in high school. I'm going to call you now. Going through his old address book. Derek, you remember the good times? Luol, you remember that time we had in the park? He's going through the old address book calling old girlfriends and trying to resurrect what once was, trying to rekindle the relationships from the past. So clearly, the Tom Thibodeau, even though he's no longer with the Bulls, it's still a Chicago sports story because what's going on with Jimmy Butler is bananas. It really is. But if you know Jimmy Butler, especially as of late, some of this probably does not surprise you. So as I go into the story, for those that don't know, Jimmy Butler walked into practice Wednesday in time for the scrimmage to start. He had not been on the court with his Timberwolves teammates since Game 5 of the Western Conference quarterfinals against Houston in April. And he took over. Y'all better hurry up. I'm only here for an hour. He jumped into the fray, grabbing several members of the third team, such as Luol Deng'o and James Nunnally, a two-way player, Jared Terrell, to go against Karl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, and some of the higher-profile Wolves players. And by the way, Jimmy Butler and those third-teamers, apparently they won the scrimmage. They had two of them, and Jimmy's team won. Okay, that's not the story. The story that no one's bringing up that I'll be the first to do is this. Why was Jimmy Butler allowed to be back in the facility? I mean, under contract, yes, he is still a Minnesota Timberwolf, but clearly he wants to be traded. So my thought is that if you want to be traded, then you don't have access to the facility. We'll make a deal for you. We'll let you know where your next stop is. But here is where the rubber meets the road. In this saga in Minnesota, Tom Thibodeau, as you just heard, might have heard on SportsCenter just moments ago, is holding on to the ankles of Jimmy Butler, saying, please don't go. He's just saying, no, don't leave, because Tom understands that his job is on the line. On the other side of this, Glenn Taylor is in the ownership, is an owner for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and he says, we're going to try to make the best deal possible. Yes, we're going to try to get him traded as soon as possible. So you have two schools of thought here. Does that remind you of anything? Two schools of thought within the same umbrella of an organization? Who's that remind you of?
Will, tell us this. What stood out most about the Bulls season for you this year?
Well,
Will Perdue knows what I'm talking about. When we talked to him earlier, he knows what I'm talking about. Two schools of thought within the same organization. And same thing's going on in Minnesota, where here's Tom saying, no, we want Jimmy to stay. And Glenn Taylor said, no, we're going to try to get him out as quickly as we can. We'll try to find the best deal possible. That doesn't work. You have to have one thought and be on message as an organization. And that's not happening in Minnesota. Again, I will ask the question, why was Jimmy Butler allowed to be back in the facility? Not only back in the facility, but to step onto the court and say, okay, we're about to practice. When you haven't been around at all, when through the summer, Jimmy Butler says, I want to be traded. I don't want to be around the Timberwolves. So let me tell you the story that I was told. Let me put my feet up here and just tell you the story I've been told as you are listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. The story that I was told is that Jimmy Butler was not happy. This, again, this is the story I was told, and then there's reality. The story I was told is that Jimmy Butler has an issue with the younger players in the Timberwolves team. It started with Andrew Wiggins. And I said at the time of his huge salary, his huge contract that he signed, that he may not be able to live up to that contract because I just don't think Andrew Wiggins is a difference-making player. I just don't think that he's that guy. But he got paid through the nose because what do you do in sports? You pay for potential, and you hope that potential will manifest itself. Okay, fine. So throughout that season, Jimmy Butler, this proud veteran or whatever you want to call Jimmy Butler, looked at Andrew Wiggins and said, you're not working hard enough. You're not on my level. I'm the guy. Karl Anthony Towns also had an issue with Karl Anthony Towns because he looked at those young players and said, man, you're not even close to where we were with the Bulls. You know, as far as being a veteran player and playing hard and being a two-way player. And I will give Jimmy credit. There is time in Chicago, definitely one of the best two-way players in the NBA. There's no question about it. You'd be blind not to understand the numbers that he's put up in his career. Remember who he was when he first came in the league. Marquette, defensive player, quote-unquote Kobe stopper, comes in the league from Marquette as a perfect Thibodeau player, a guy that would just be solid defensively and had to work on his offensive game. When he was 22, he shot 2.6 points a game in limited play. He went from 2.6 to 8 to 13 to 20 to 20 again in 2015-16. And then from there, 24 points a game when he was 27, and now he's 28 years of age. His last year, he scored the ball and was able to get 22 points a game for the Timberwolves. 22 points a game, solid numbers, right? for a guy, again, when you look at the landscape of the National Basketball Association, you will see a guy that's very solid as a two-way player. But he feels that his young teammates aren't good enough, so he wanted out. Now, you could take that however you want that, as far as whether or not you agree with Jimmy, in which you have a league that is can exercise when they want to leave or when they want to stay. This is the same thing Kyrie Irving did. He wanted out, and he was able to get to Boston. Same thing with Jimmy Butler. Not a fan of Minnesota Timberwolves and that whole mix, and so he wanted out. Of course, if you look on Black Sports Online, you'll see something different. I just gave you the ESPN version, and then I gave you the street version of what's going on with Jimmy Butler. Just go to blacksportsonline.com. You can see the difference between Karl-Anthony Towns and Jimmy Butler. Always think of two things: women or money. It's usually an issue. Take a look for yourself. If you and I believe Robert Latal, because Robert Latal is a terrific writer for Black Sports Online. I'm just saying, check that out for yourself, and maybe that will give you a little bit more insight. That there might be something under the surface. But from a basketball standpoint, let's get back to the sports part of it. On the basketball standpoint, Jimmy Butler had a problem with the young players. That Timberwolves team barely got to the playoffs last year. It took the last day of the regular season for them to get past Denver. And then they kind of just bowed out. Tom Thibodeau is fearful that he's going to lose his job. And Tom Thibodeau is over his head as a president of basketball operations. And I know somewhere John Paxson is cackling and Fred Hoiberg and Gar Former are cackling, because this is way over the skis of Tom Thibodeau. Nobody in sports, and I mean this now, nobody in sports should have three or four different hats as in one job. Doc Rivers was fired from GM and now just a head coach. Stan Van Gundy just got fired from Detroit because he was a president of basketball operations and head coach. He was let go after poor drafts and really a team in the Pistons that really underachieved. And same thing here with Tom. Tom wanted the full Monty, president of basketball operations and also the head coach. That way he can make all the decisions on and off the floor. That doesn't work. You can't do that today. That just does not work today. I don't care if your name is Pat Riley. It's just difficult to do that now in 2018, the three and four hats at a time. And just simply put, before we hear from Jimmy, it's just that if you ask an NBA coach, who do you want for the draft, especially if you draft in the middle toward the bottom, I'm sure the regular NBA coach would have no idea, especially as a season starts. But a GM that goes to actual gyms, that actually breaks down film with the scouting staff, they can determine what's best for the organization. Head coach is so focused on their team. That's why it's hard to have two or three hats. Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So Rachel Nichols got a chance to sit down with Jimmy Butler. Boy, that thing, you know, Rachel's just chilling. All of a sudden she gets the message like, yeah, Jimmy's ready to talk, and she's got to get on a plane and talk to Jimmy Butler. This was bizarre. It was bizarre. Jimmy Butler ready to talk. It's like, wait, you've been ghosting all this time under the hood in a lot of ways, not talking to anybody, but every now and then through the summer, yeah, Jimmy looks like he wants out. Jimmy wants out. And they got even bigger over the last couple of weeks. Do you know how close we are to the regular season starting? And now he wants to be traded? Okay. So Jimmy Butler, number one thing he says, I want to be appreciated.
The whole thing is, I just want to be appreciated. That's it. Okay. It's not about anything else. You asked me to do something, I did it. I really did. Mm-hmm. You asked, hey, I want you to go out here. I want you to guard the best player on that end of the floor. I want you to go down there, score some points. Okay, I did it. Mm-hmm. You asked me to take you to the playoffs. We did that as a team, but I feel like I had something to do with it. I will say that I had something to do with it, and it shows, because when I was playing, I'm not saying I'm the best player in the world. I'm not saying I'm this. I'm not saying I'm that. I'm not. I'm just saying I might be a little bit important, just a little bit. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Are you saying that Tom Thibodeau didn't say that? And here's the thing. Tom's kind of gruff. I think he's like the tough dad. I think he's the guy that's not going to put his arm around you and say, good job, Jimmy, and rub your head and make you feel good. I don't think he's that guy. Jimmy Butler also, was asked, do you think it was the wrong thing to do for you to just bum rush practice, kick the doors in, got an hour, let's go. Was that the right thing?
I think that I was honest. Was I brutally honest? Yes. But I think that that's the problem. Everybody's so scared to be honest with one another. If you didn't like the way that I handled myself in practice, one of the players come up to me. Somebody say something. Anybody. I'm not going to take it offense. It's not personal. Jimmy, you shouldn't have done that. Yeah, you probably right. I would have said, I ain't hooped in I don't know how long. I mean, I'm passionate about it. I love the game and I love to win. And that's all I was out there doing was competing, playing hard, doing what I'm supposed to do on the basketball floor.
So Jimmy Butler does not have the feeling that you and I have on the outside looking in on this and thinking, you know, maybe if I haven't been around the team. And by the way, when the Timberwolves lost in the playoffs that last game, he didn't fly back home with the team. He flew to Los Angeles. He took his own flight and flew to Los Angeles and didn't fly back with the team. I guess we got to mention that, too. He didn't think that's awkward. He's asking for a trade. The whole team knows he wants to trade. And he kicks the door in. It's just kind of like, yeah, let's do this. And just from some of the quotes, some of the players on the team is just like, yeah, he showed up. So I talked to veteran players all this week when I was doing my NBA radio shows while baseball was on here. And talking to former players, they were like, yeah, if he came into my practice, we'd give him the complete side eye. Like, what, like, who are you? Like, you clearly are not around, haven't been around this summer, and now all of a sudden you just want, now you want a ball? Why? Because you don't have any options? you have no other choice? How about that? Jimmy Butler on reports of berating executives and players.
A lot of it's true. A lot of it is true. But you got to think, I haven't played basketball in so long, and I'm so passionate, and I love the game, and I don't do it for any other reason except for to compete and go up against the best to try to prove that I can hang. So all my emotion came out at one time. Was it the right way to do it? No, but I can't control that when I'm out there competing. Like, that's my love of the game. That's raw me. Me at my finest, me at my purest. That's what you're going to get inside the lines.
Dodo.
To play hard, that's it. Play for one another. Win. Just at all costs, the only reason that you play this game is for these guys that you suit up with. Don't even do it for Tibbs. Don't even do it. Do it because you know I got your back. If you get knocked down, count on 23 to pick you up, and whoever knock you down, knock them down again. Do it. I dare you. I'm going to be there. Find me. Give me a T. Give me two. Throw me out the game. But whenever my guys come into the locker room, they're going to be like, I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you. You have my back. Do it for them. Just win. That's the only thing. Just win. That's all I do it for. I don't do it for the money. I don't do it for anything. Just win. And I'm passionate, as you can tell. All I ever wanted to do is win. Just win.
Okay. I don't know what he's talking about. He's a cross between Floyd Mayweather and like Ray Lewis. I don't know what he's talking about. Like, look, dude, you are trying to force a deal, trying to force a trade. You don't want to be with the Minnesota Timberwolves. You say all you want to do is just play. You're not even playing for the money. Clearly, that's a lie because he will be a free agent at season's end, and he's going to look for some big-time payday. And quite frankly, some GMs will look at the situation and not want to pay Jimmy Butler, be like, next, I'd rather have someone younger and someone that wants to be in a team situation. I mean, I can understand if this whole deal with the Timberwolves was just so bad, like Sacramento bad. If it was just that kind of dysfunction that you see with some of these teams that's in the bottom. Because, by the way, you can always find the dysfunction. Just look to the bottom of the standings every year in the NBA or for any team, quite frankly, in sports. But I just his reasoning sounds crazy. Like, sure, he's passionate. Sure, he wants to win. That's fine. But he's going about it the wrong way. And he mentioned in one of those sound bites, like, oh, you know, all players have to just come up and tell me is like, I'm wrong. Like, yeah, I'm sure he'd accept that. Yes. Hey, Jimmy, you're doing right. This wrong. Yeah, I'm sure he'd just be like, you know what? You're right. I'm doing this wrong. I should play out this season and then try to exercise my free agency. You are correct, sir. Carl Anthony Towns. Yes, Taj Gibson, you are correct. They ain't going down like that. Who's he trying to fool, man? I was going to use a different word. But who's he trying to fool? Come on now.
Let's not get this misunderstood or anything. I love the team that I'm on. This has nothing to do with it.
That's the clip I wanted you to play first. I want you to start with that one, Hood.
Oh, David.
us.
He loves the team that he's on.
Let's not get this misunderstood or anything. I love the team that I'm on. This has nothing to do with the players that I play with. I know what I'm going to get from Jeff. I know what I'm going to get from Wiggs. I know what I'm going to get from Cat. I know what I'm going to get, and I can bring the best out of each one of those guys. I know I've played with them. I know their talents. I know what they can and can't do. They know what I can and can't do. They cover me up on a lot of different things. I'm not the best three-point shooter. But when Cat's in the corner, you can't leave Cat. I get to do what I do. I'm driving to the basket. Like, we all know one another. It's never about Jimmy versus Cat or Jimmy versus Wiggs. Everybody paints that picture, but that's not it. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not mad at anybody on my team. It has nothing to do with them. I tell them that every day that I talk to them. It's nothing to do with y'all. It's not. I love y'all. I want to compete. I came in to compete.
Okay, so what's the problem? So why don't you compete? You mad at the general manager and you're mad at Tom Thibodeau? Oh, you're not mad at Tibbs? No, he was speaking highly of Tom Thibodeau. So your problem is the general manager because you didn't get the amount of money that you wanted. You wanted them to re-up you. You want to make Karl Anthony Towns money? That's not going to happen because Karl Anthony Towns is the future and the cornerstone of that franchise. And apparently Andrew Wiggins is too. So I don't know. He talks about wanting to be appreciated. What dollar amount? See, if it's not about money, then what's the respect that you want? See, this is what happens when you talk so long off the cuff that now you can't connect your own thoughts. See, like if it's not about money, then what's the problem? You want respect? Clearly, the Timberwolves respect you. That's why they made the deal. So what's the issue? You got a problem with the general manager? You're yelling at him. You're yelling at Tom Thibodeau, and you want out. Well, so
said no to an extension as well.
Yes, the extension was not big enough. Clearly, but it's not about money though.
Right.
We will see how this develops. I will just tell you that as Nick Friedell told us late night, we were doing Bulls Buzz. It was late night. The reason why, I will tell you this, by the way, let me just make sure that we can say this legally before we can step in. Let's hear from CM Punk, then I can tell you the story.
Oops, I'm breaking the fourth wall.
The reason why that we put Nick Friedell on for our Bulls Buzz shows when we were doing Bulls post-game shows here on the station, well, the reason why we put him on really late is because that was the end of Nick's day, and Nick was just completely drained after covering the Bulls and writing, and he might have had, just had his feet up a little bit comfortable. And one night when the Bulls were on the road, 11:35, 11:40, right up to almost to 12 o'clock, Nick Friedell said, Hoodie, Jimmy Butler's really changed. He didn't tell that to any other show except this one. And I said, what do you mean he changed? It's still Jimmy Butler. No, he's really changed his attitude. He's not the humble guy from Tumble, Texas. And I said, please tell me more. Let's put the box score down from tonight's Nets loss and tell me more about the Jimmy Butler. And Dick went into it just talking about how he was with the media and how he was portrayed as this humble guy from Tumble, Texas. And then when he started to be able to be more of a player and more recognizable across the NBA landscape, then all of a sudden, Jimmy Butler became Hollywood. The same things that Joakim Noah said about the Miami Heat. Hollywood as hell. Of course, also dealing with the Wahlbergs also helps too. There's Mark Wahlberg with Jimmy Butler in the offseason. Say hello to your mother for me. And there he is, kind of whispering in Jimmy's head about how Jimmy's a better player and Jimmy needs to be in a different market. This is all a mess. It's something, Davis. This is where we are.
Look, you would appreciate this. Jimmy Butler is the perfect wrestling heel that you dislike in certain instances, but he can make you like him in certain instances. He's the NBA Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
He is. Like, some people hate him. Then he can turn around in Piper's Pit and make you love him during an interview. But he's not good enough to really wrestle and be the champion and carry the franchise.
That's correct. This is what he's turning into. And,
yeah.
And making himself the victim with Rachel Nichols. I mean, it's just 9 minutes of him just rambling and it's probably longer than that, but just what we were privy to, just this trying to just bare his soul to ESPN and just like I know you want to be traded, but I don't know ultimately what you want. I don't know who you're blaming. You say it's not about the players, and I know that's not true. So, I mean,
What if I went conspiracy theory and said all of this was staged?
To get out?
By Jimmy and his people.
To do what? To
they,
get out?
They leaked the trade information.
Yeah.
They sit back and say, you know what? Just go in there and be a jerk Monday. And then we're going to have Rachel Nichols fly out. Like, everything happened so fast. Like you said, oh, you're ready to talk now? You just left practice and you're ready to talk. Sit down with Rachel Nichols and bare your soul. And in bearing your soul, expose the fact that you're contradictory in all of your statements.
Well, he didn't do a good job of explaining exactly what he wants. And if I'm Minnesota, and if I'm Tom Thibodeau, and by the way, with or without Jimmy Butler, I'm not sure if even Minnesota makes the playoffs this year. But here's what I would do. Tom, and Tom's going to be out of here, out of that job pretty soon here because of what's going on. So you might as well make the best deal that's possible, and that is try to find the team with the most draft picks and try to – you're not going to get the same type of production, but you got to try to find teams that's willing to give you futures and a nice, warm veteran body to go along with Karl-Anthony Towns and Wiggins and just be done with it. From Jimmy's standpoint, Jimmy's always going to be a second and third banana. He's just like Kyrie Irving, in which he wants to have his own joint so because he wants to win so bad. He's so passionate. You know what? He's still a top 25 player, but he's just not top 10, not top 15. And this is a bad look for Jimmy Butler. Jimmy, after all this time, the humble guy from Tumble, Texas, and then this happens. Just making a spectacle of himself. Okay. Everything is it's not about money. It's about anything else. This is Jimmy Butler for you. But the saga continues. Let's talk about the Bears with Moon Mullen coming up in our next half hour right here on UTA.
You're listening to my mans and them.
Just a man that's on the mic. And when we rock up on the mic, we rock the mic.
What? Jay Hood. On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Yo, it's time for Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Last time they tried this, they had a false start. Two quarterbacks in the game.
Ready? Go, go. Yeah. Ready? Ready?
Can they get it to Gabriel, who finds the end zone?
Tom Brenneman, Fox Sports. The Bears get the job done. Their last game against Tampa. We're talking to you about the Bears right here this half hour with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweet Jay Hood. By the way, I know he's a young player. Trubisky's not going to fool anybody with that snap count. Give me that again. Just give it before the actual
play. Last time they tried this, they had a false start. Two quarterbacks in the game.
Good night. Well, there you go. Tampa was so bad I just fooled him the first time, but I don't think that should be in the playbook. I don't see that as a thing.
He's going to take Peyton Manning's class.
that separation. You can put a pace bus through that separation of calls there. Like, okay, I'm still going to be in my stance. Let me know when you want to snap the ball, bro. Just let me know when you're ready. Spice Adams told me this story once about Peyton Manning. He's just like, what was Spice's number? 91? Forgot Spice's number. But Peyton Manning would say,
he's 95, right?
95, I think. He's like, 95's the mic. 95's the mic. And Spice would be like, in his helmet, like, I am not the mic. Stop saying that. 95's the mic. And so Spice got mad, just like, stop saying I'm the mic. I'm not the mic, Peyton. As you're listening to ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood with you, we will hear from Jeff Fox coming up at 8:15, friend of mine from Miami. We'll get his thoughts about the Bears and the Dolphins. We're going to hear from Moon Mullen in just a moment. But I am excited about what we've been seeing with this Bears team so far because they are 3-1 going into this game. Remember, I had them as a 7-9 ball club. They're almost there. On the win total side of things, they're almost there. It's quite a surprise, obviously, and it's a pleasant surprise. Because the one thing that you've always wanted, if you're a Bears fan, is to have that balance on both sides of the ball, offense and defense. Historically, me being as a Bears fan all these years, the thing that resonates with us is defense. The NFL films and all that, it's really about defense. You've seen over and over again the defenses of the 60s and the 70s, the 80s, a little bit of the 90s for sure, the Lovie Smith era. You've seen so many dominant defenses, but you'd be hard-pressed to find that NFL films that they'll roll out there of the prolific offense of the Chicago Bears. You have not seen it. And so now you get an opportunity to see an offense, especially that last game against Tampa, which was unbelievable. And I don't expect to see that throughout the season, but that's a step in the right direction. I found it questionable that some were looking at what Tampa did defensively and how wide open the receivers are for the Bears and not give Trubisky credit. That's not fair. Like, if you're going to be critical of the offense and how they could not move the ball in the second half against Green Bay, give them credit for what they did against Tampa. I don't care how bad Tampa's defense was. I don't care. You have to continue to get better. That's the whole thing. Matt Nagy talking about looking at a number of things with this team, but he was talking about Ryan Tannehill on the other side of this matchup as the Bears take on the Dolphins. Quarterback for the Dolphins, Ryan Tannehill, what does he expect from him?
Going back to in college, coming out of college and kind of the conversion from into transition into playing quarterback, he was always, you know, he was a great runner and could make things happen. He, you know, a lot of great runs with his legs, but he's developed into a really good quarterback that makes great decisions. And so, you know, he's played well consistently. I think he's had a good career. I respect him as a quarterback, and you know, I think he's able to do a lot. He can beat you with his legs if he needs to, but yeah, he can also beat you with his arm too.
You're listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweet J Hood. We turn to a friend of the program from NBC Sports Chicago. It's John Moon Mullen. He's with us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app as Moon covers the Bears like a blanket. Moon, as always, I appreciate your time. I was just talking about how we're pleasantly surprised by the Bears' start. And how surprised are you that the Bears have started off so well?
Oh, I guess, you know, 3-1 surprises you a little bit. You know, that's a good question, Jay, because it's different surprises. What surprised me was how bad Tampa Bay's defense was. A surprise was that a Vic Fangio defense would collapse in Green Bay the way it did. So it hasn't really gone according to, I think, anybody's script. But if you're, you know, Bear, member of Bear Nation, it's been a good start. So, yeah, I think the surprises, at least they've, for the most part, gone the Bears' way.
When we talked before the season about Jordan Howard, and I said that, you know, Jordan Howard may not be like this dynamic running back, but neither was Neil Anderson. He was a Pro Bowler. So I look at Jordan Howard, and I still think there's a lot of room for him to really flourish in this offense. But I'm wondering, just from the first few games that you've seen with Tariq Cohen, is Cohen more of a kind of gadget type of back that the coaching staff likes over Howard?
Yes. Although I think he's shown himself to be more than just a gadget player. It's kind of a complicated question, Jake, because there was a trade interest in him going back. I wrote this and Bears vehemently denied, but there was smoke going back into the offseason. The real question is what kind of back fits the Matt Nagy offense? And of course, there's probably room in any offense for a 1,200 yard a year guy. But what I was surprised at, and going back to the surprises, the Tariq Cohen, the workload he took in the Tampa Bay game. He's not a feature back, but he clearly, they were comfortable with him running inside because he was, if there was something stacked up by a Gerald McCoy, he was equipped to bounce things out. And that is a real appealing thing, to have a running game that's faster rather than just the big hammer, which is what Jordan Howard kind of is, unfortunately. The one thing about Howard, whether he fits, he's a bargain. He's still on his rookie contract for a fifth-round draft choice. So, you know, there will be trade interest in, you know, some of the contenders that running backs go down. But he certainly fits, his price certainly fits. what I was surprised, though, bigger picture, is how much of a fit Cohen was in the run game. And that's really what I think is going to be worth watching. You know, I'll be honest with you, Jay, I'm not sure I see Jordan Howard on this team in 2019. But as far as the rest of the year, you know, there's still a couple weeks to the trade deadline, so that's something to watch.
Moon Mullen from NBC Sports Chicago with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. I'm looking forward to this Miami game. I'm wondering how this is going to work here, especially offensively, with the Bears coming off such a great offensive showing against Kansas City. What are your expectations against Miami and Adam Gase?
I don't expect six touchdowns. I don't expect a Patrick Mahomes day again.
Okay.
The number of takeaways that Miami's been able, you know, 10 interceptions. I would be surprised if you don't get a heavy dose of Jordan Howard, maybe, or at least early on. You don't want to give Ryan Tannehill a short field. Tannehill's kind of right this year, at least certainly last week and a little couple times earlier this season. He's like Jay Cutler, like Charles Woodson up in Green Bay used to say, just be patient. He'll give us one. And that may be Ryan Tannehill. So what they just don't want to do is go the other way. So I would look for a little more of a ball control, ground and pound, if you will, but let's see if they can stop. This may be set up, use the run to set up the pass, so it's not as much on Trubisky to win this game outright with his arm right away.
Okay, Moon, so I got a column idea for you. You ready for this?
So let me get a pencil. Okay. Yeah, all good writers are good thieves. I will steal any good idea I can.
Notice you have it with a pencil and not a pen. There's an eraser on the pencil. That's why. So all right, Moon. So here's the idea that I'm going to pitch to you. I think that to its core in sports, if you can bring up an athlete and you don't have a comp for that athlete, that means that athlete's pretty special. That could be LeBron James. It could be Kevin Durant. And I will ask you this about Khalil Mack, because based on what we've seen from him with the Raiders and obviously with the Bears, if I told you to fill in the blank, Khalil Mack is the most impressive defensive player since blank. That's hard. That's a hard one, but I think that you can put together four or five different defensive players over the years in which you can kind of build a Khalil Mack. Speed, agility, power. I mean, I think he's four or five different defensive players all in one.
You know, the closest comp to him, to me, and even wore the same number, was Clay Matthews in his prime. Mm-hmm. You know, one of those guys who was so fast. How did he get back there? He's 50 pounds smaller than the tackles that are blocking him. And he's getting double teamed, and he's still on the he's draped on the quarterback's shoulders. That would be the closest comp I've seen if I had to pick one guy. And there's probably now this is not an LT kind of guy. This is not obviously like a J.J. Watt, 6'6", 290 kind of guy. There are not too many like him, because not even Von Miller. I think he's got more power, I think, than Von Miller does. So he's stouter at the point than Miller. So I'm not sure that would even be the comp as much. And that's what makes him unique. You're right. That's a good point. If you can't think of too many people like him, then you know what the defensive coordinator is going through trying to figure out a way to stop him, or the offensive coordinator is trying to stop him.
So that means that we got to get the art department to get the figure of the operation. Remember the operation game. So we got to be able to you got to find the biceps of a certain defensive player, the legs, the mind. We've got to be able to dissect this guy, because I can't find a real comp for what Khalil Mack is. And I guess that's a good thing, I guess, when it comes to him.
Well, as long as he's getting a sack a game, or sacking one and a half sacks or whatever, it works to five sacks in four games. Whatever that body type is, I'll take one. Can I get that to go? I'll take that to go, operator.
Boone, I'm glad you spent some time. I'm looking forward to the game against Miami. We'll see what the Bears do.
Anytime, Jonathan. Always fun to talk, buddy.
Thank you. John Moon Mullen with us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. All right. Can I tell you a little something about Illinois Media School? Can I tell you something about it? You know, I will ask you the question. Are you tired of waking up and going to a job that you hate? Most people spend their entire lives doing just that. Well, this doesn't have to be you. Look, I get paid to talk on the radio. So I love my job. I get a chance to talk to sports athletes, get a chance to talk to writers like John Moon Mullen and create content and make a change in the community. If you want to do what I do, I want you to listen up. Illinois Media School offers an 8-month course where you can learn all aspects of radio and television. Whether you want to be a radio or TV host, YouTube content creator, drone operator, board operator, promotions director, social media manager, you name it. If it has to do with media, Illinois Media School's got it, right? It's going to teach you to be able to get yourself a job once you graduate. So I want you to call this number right now. Phone lines are open. 630-916-1700. 630-916-1700. Illinois Media School offers financial aid for those who qualify, and you can graduate in 8 months. You can be working on air like me in less than a year. Call Illinois Media School now. Classes fill up fast. I know for sure they do on the Lombard campus. So again, 630-916-1700. 630-916-1700. And tell them Jonathan Hood sent you. All right, we're glad that you're with us here. We will hear and get a kind of a preview of what's going on with the Bears and the Miami Dolphins with Jeff Fox coming up at 9:15. More on the Bears as we move forward here on Under the Hood.
I go work like a doctor. When I rock the mic, you got to like it.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.
You're listening to my man's and them, Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Whoa, breaking news. Cubs hitting coach Chili Davis has been fired, according to Jesse Rogers from ESPN.com. We'll hear from Jesse coming up at the top of the hour here on ESPN 1000 after SportsCenter. Chili Davis is fired. Somebody had to take the blame. Many of you called in to our shows and blamed Chili Davis for the hitting woes for this ball club. 30 games in which the Cubs had one or no runs in the regular season. I think that trip, in 30 games. So, Chili Davis fired. We'll talk to Jesse about that coming up next and get his thoughts on whether or not Chili Davis is the last move that the Cubs will make as far as their managers slash coaches are concerned. Someone had to take the blame. It's really amazing. Now, here's the thing. You can bring in some other wizard, and that's fine. You sure the Cubs are going to hit next year because there's a new hitting coach? New different hitting philosophy? Okay, we'll find out. We'll hear from Jesse about this coming up next as we keep you company here until 10 o'clock.
From your hood to J-hood.
I excel, then prevail. The mic is contacted. I attract clientele.
On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.